Well, good morning again, and we do thank you all for being here, and it is a great day to be together in fellowship and to worship God, and y'all singing just sounded amazing today, and David always does a great job in leading us in our song service, and we greatly appreciate all of you being here today. This morning, my lesson is entitled, Well Done. You know, in life, as we accomplish things or go out and do jobs or whether it's sports or whatever it else, at the end of it, we always like to hear the job, well done, good job. And so this lesson is taken from the book of Matthew in the 25th chapter there, where this sermon will be from. You know, as I was preparing for this lesson, I began to think of this upcoming year, 2024. As I often do every year, I began to think back in the years past and this upcoming year and start setting goals or resolutions. And I know many of us do that in our lives, and some of you don't. And those of you that don't, I really encourage you to set some goals in your life this coming year. These goals in our life help us to be better people, to be better servants of God, and to perhaps change some things that haven't been going well in our life into a positive aspect. But in this life, there are different goals that we set for us. And perhaps, you know, it may be to lose some weight, maybe to exercise, maybe do a little bit better in your job, maybe become more a better Christian. Whatever it may be, we set these goals to better ourselves. And it's very important, I feel, that we do that. Now, when setting goals, there are certain things that we should do. Just setting or saying that we want to set a goal is not good enough. There is something that we must do. If you want to attain your goals, you need to have a certain kind of plan to do it. After seeking your goal, you need to go all in on pursuit. So we set a goal, we'll see what we're going to do, and then we try to obtain that goal. I've heard it said that the most powerful weapon on earth is a focused mind. And that is true. If you've ever been around someone or if you've ever had a focused mind, having that focused mind keeps you from being distracted by other things that are around you. And so if you have a focused mind, more likely you're going to reach the goal that you set. Also, if you set your eyes on something, I see that too. For those of you that have ever ridden a motorcycle or ride motorcycles, know what I'm talking about. Several years ago, not too long after I got married, me and my dad went for a ride on a motorcycle. And we rode several hundred miles that day. And as you know, if you ride a motorcycle, as long as you're looking down the road there, that's where you're going to go. If you lean to the right, that's how you steer a bike. If you lean to the left, you turn to the left. Well, we had been riding for several hundred miles that day, and we were just about home. And we come around this curve. He was behind me. And I leaned to the right, and I kept leaning to the right, but my eyes was focused on a curve there. And it didn't matter how hard I leaned to the right, I just ran right into that curve there and flew over the handlebars. Now, I wasn't aiming to do that, but that's where my eyes were focused. And if I'd have kept my eyes focused down the road, that bike would have just leaned over there. Those of you that have ridden motorcycles know what I'm talking about. So my point of that is that if we have our eyes and our mind focused on something, we will meet that goal along with other things that we need to do. Now, meeting our goals, it takes planning, it takes practice, it takes self-discipline, and also progress monitoring to do that. A goal isn't something that just happens. We are the ones that make goals happen. But I feel that in our life that we all have goals. Whether, you know, if you think back when you're younger and at home with your mom and dad, you have a goal to eventually graduate high school, to perhaps go to college and graduate college, and then maybe get a job, and then you have a goal to have a spouse and get married and have a family. And we have these certain life goals that we have to achieve, and those things just don't happen. Perhaps they may some, but in order to have a good life, it takes goals to have that. But one of the most important goals I think that anyone should have in their life is to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. I think that's our ultimate goal in life. And you think about it, all the things that we do in this life, whatever goal it may be, whether it be lose weight or to become better people or better selves of ourselves, Our ultimate goal is to hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Doesn't that sound good? Even coming from me, but can you imagine our Lord saying that to us on the day of judgment? "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." In order to hear those words, I feel that there are certain things that we have to do to achieve this goal. Number one is using our talents. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30, if you brought your Bibles with you, I want to read that parable to you all. I know that some of you may be aware of this, but I don't want to take anything for granted. If you don't know the story, I do want to read it to you this morning. If you don't have your Bibles, just listen along as I read this story. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them 5 other talents. And likewise, he that received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that received the 5 talents came and brought over 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he that received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathered where thou have not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there, though thou hast, that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I have not sowed, and I gather where I have not reaped. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money into exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give unto him which hath the 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into the darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of the teeth." You see in that talent there, we hear a story of 3 different servants receiving talents from their master according to their ability. Now, the talent here we're talking about is actually a money. It's a monetary thing, actually quite a bit. But that isn't the purpose of this story here. You see, in Matthew chapter 25, verse 21, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," highlights the importance of the faithful stewardship and joy that comes from God, from our God-given abilities. The goal is to steward our time, talent, and treasure for the glory of God. And using our talents, one of the things we've got to do is identify what our talents are. And I know for some that's difficult for you to do. I've heard many people ask, "I don't know what my talent is. I don't know how to use my talent. I'm still searching for that talent." But everyone has been given a measure of talent. God has given us all ability to do something. For in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, it says, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up." You see, God has given us all different abilities. One of the universal ability or talent I will say that God gives us is the ability to love. Every one of us has ability to love something. whether it be sports, a hobby, and this is what we love, we share with other people. We talk about that love and that passion that we have. But as Christians, we should and we are to have love for God, and we can share that love with our family and with our friends about how much we love God by inviting them to church, by loving on them every day. And once we identify our talents, it's important that we use our talents for the Lord. Many talents are easy to find in the place of service. As you can see, there are some people that can lead sing. There are some people that can lead prayers. There are some people that can preach from the pulpit. We have teachers that teach Bible class. We have all kinds of different services within the church. Not everyone can do that, and we realize that, but there are talents that can be used. For women, if you like to craft and sew, or men, if you like to hunt and fish, that's a God-given talent that God has given you to use. And there are other people that likewise that have that same talent, that same passion you have, and gives you the opportunity to share your love with Christ with them and to share them the gospel. You see, we can use our talents in many different ways, and we often use them for our own abilities and our own joy, but we can use those talents that God has given us for the joy in our life to glorify Him. Opportunities do come our way more than often we realize. In Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 4, it says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us that God may open door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. And that should be our prayer and our request each day as we are trying to reach this goal to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant, is to pray that God will open up doors for us. And there are doors open every day for us to proclaim God's grace and goodness. Secondly, to achieve this goal, we need to fight the good fight. In 2 Timothy verse 4 and chapter 6, Paul writes, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Paul writes these final words to Timothy as an encouragement, who is now being left to continue the work ordained by God. You see, the work of the Lord must continue on until the Lord comes. Paul knew his time on earth was short and was given these words of encouragement to Timothy to carry on the gospel, the good news of Christ. In our life, that's a battle for us each day. There's a battle in the mind that we are pulled to do what our will is or what God's will is. We must make a choice to pursue God's will in a life of faith on a daily basis. Make a decision to lean on God instead of allowing things to pull you away. You know, every morning we get up and we have our agenda. We have things that we want to get done, and we have things that the Lord has opened up the door for us to do. We must continue every day to focus on what God's will is. In the book of James, in the first chapter, it says we are led away by desires. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. Therefore, we must think of the good things in our life. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, it says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, whatever is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Keep your mind focused on what God has for us to do. Keep your eyes on the greater things to come and be all in on pursuit in this goal. We must hold on to our faith throughout trying times. Now, those are the things that we battle with internally. We also should fight the good fight externally. And this begins with the love for lost souls. It's easy for us to be in this congregation, in this church, to love on each other. We know that we're all sinners. We don't know if all of our souls are saved by God. But let's say we have a visitor come in today. They are brought in by their own love for God. It's easy to love on them, but think about all of the people that are in our community or even in our families that are lost. We should love those people and love to bring them back into God's fold. They may have never even heard the gospel, but that love, and that's a fight that we struggle with every day. Should we even bother with these people? Should I mind my own business? I think we should make it our business, and it should be a fight every day that we have to go out and look and seek for those lost souls. And Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 and 38 says that Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask of the Lord the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." We know in this world today that the harvest is plentiful, but there are very few workers. We can't just depend on our pastor, our preachers, or our elders, or our other Christian friends to go out into these fields and to help these people. We must fight every day to be able to go out and do that as well. We must have a great desire to have them be saved. James 5 and 19 and 20 says, "My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from error of their way will save them from death and overcome a multitude of sins." It is our duty and our responsibility and our goal to fight that good fight every day to go out and seek these lost people and bring them into Jesus Christ. And lastly, we can achieve this goal to hear these words, "Well done, a good and faithful servant," by enduring temptation. In the book of James, in the first chapter, in verse 12, it says, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial because of having stood the test. That person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised those who love him." We need to be dead to sin. We need to seek God's honor. Now, we know we all fall short of the glory of God. All of us are sinners here today. But repentance involves a change of one's life. But it's also more. It's about seeking every day to honor and glorify God. True repentance to sin is death to sin. In Romans 6:2, Paul asks, "We are those who have died to sin, so how can we live in it any longer?" Temptation is around us every day. It doesn't matter if you've been a Christian for a short time or for a very long time. Temptation is going to be around us all. The devil, evil, is around us, seeking us every day to try to take us away from Christ. It is a temptation that all of us deal with. But Paul writes in Colossians 3:5, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to you, earthly nature. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language. Remove all of those from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of our Creator." Not only would we be dead to sin, but we also need to strive and have a goal to be alive in God. The crown of life is for those who love the Lord. Loving requires obedience to our God. It's not just a lip service. It's not just pretending. Don't bury the God-given talent that God has given you. Use it for God. What makes a good and faithful servant? It's all about making the most of what God has given us in this life. We all have these abilities and these talents. Every one of us in some way, form, or fashion. And we should use it to glorify God. Folks, it's not going to be by chance that you hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." You have to do in order to hear those words. We will achieve this goal by using our talents for God. We can achieve this goal by fighting the good fight, both inwardly and externally, and by enduring temptation every day as it comes our way, to fight off the evil. It's a constant battle we have to go through each day, but the work of the Lord must continue until his coming. On the day of judgment, folks, we will not have a second chance to set this goal. Today is our day to set that goal. You'll either hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," enter into the joy of the Lord. Or you may hear these words, away from me, you evildoer, for I never knew you, and be cast down, where there be weeping and gnashing of the teeth. Now, in closing this morning, none of this lesson, none of these goals that I put before you today would do you any good if your name is not written in the book of life. There may be someone here today who have not been baptized into Christ. If you have not, you won't have that opportunity to hear those words. It takes the first step to be obedient to God by obeying the gospel and being baptized for the remission of your sins. Then after that, and only that, you can strive for that goal each day to hear those words. I know that especially young people here have a whole life ahead of you, and you have lots of goals and things you want to accomplish in life, and it takes work and effort. It takes obedience to do. But all of that in life is temporary. This is eternity here. This is an opportunity today to make that step, to make that faith, so that we can hear those words, well done and good and faithful servant. If you have been baptized, and there are some here have wandered from the faith, and just by chance they take that they will hear these words, well done, good and faithful servant, this morning we'll ask that if you'll come forward, that we will pray for you as a loving congregation to bring you back into God's fold. We all wander away. We need to come back. We're here to pray for you, to use your talents that you have, to glorify God and to bring other people with you. We all have strayed away from time to time. And if you're here this morning, and either you haven't been baptized and would like to make that confession of faith today, we all encourage you. We're all here to help you through it. Or if you're here this morning and perhaps are one away from the faith, or haven't been using your talents to glorify God, and you want to achieve this goal, and this goal is the most important thing in your life, is to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. We invite you to come forward this morning as we stand and as we sing.